Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hey everybody, congrats on not taking your own life. Yay!
Yay!
Hey, you didn't kill yourself this week. I'm very proud of you. We don't get enough credit for not killing ourselves. Welcome to The Voices in Our Heads. I'm your girl, Christina Hutchinson, and I am joined by my dear friend, witch, creative director, Ani Mush.
Hey, hey.
So happy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I've been wanting to have you on for a while. It is my desire to showcase the spiritual woo-woo people in my life, and we have so much to talk about.
We sure do.
Let's fucking get to it.
Well, thank you.
Ani, you're a creative director. Is that the right title?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's all-encompassing. I'm many things, but that will fall under that category.
You're
sure.
Truly one of the most creative people I've ever met.
Thank you. Wow, that means a lot.
Yeah, and your creativity has saved us. mainly what I'm thinking of is the guys we fucked, our special day, special that we shot in Salem. Mm-hmm. Such a fun time, even though I was going through a mental breakdown during the entire process, which was...
You figured it out, though.
Poor Corinne. I owe her 80,000 apologies. But we had a set design and you got the materials for. And yep. I remember getting a call from my manager, Rick, when we were still at the Airbnb doing hair and makeup. And he's like, hey, this set's not working. Like, we need help. And then so you came in. Mm-hmm. And you magically made a beautiful, gorgeous set for our special.
The snap of a finger. Right?
In like 2 hours? I don't even know if it was that.
I think it definitely took a little longer than that, but I built that set 3 times that day.
Right. And you had to keep breaking it down.
Yes. Cause we just had to keep lifting the curtain and like the lights kept like doing a thing. So it was supposed to be one color and then we changed it to another, which I'm so happy that we did. But it was definitely a process.
It was. Yes. Yeah.
And it was me. I didn't have a team. Yeah.
No,
it was
literally just you and everybody else looking onward like, oh fuck, is this going to work? Yeah. Are we going to have a set? And I remember
definitely concerned Rick a couple times I saw his face.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets a little nervous. Ricky. And I remember we got to the theater and I was like, this looks fucking great. Yeah. He's like, she pulled it off. I don't know how she pulled it off.
By the skin of my balls.
Yeah, really, truly. But also, you know, when that special was done and we did it and I was going through, like I said, violently suicidal mental breakdown that I was like, just keep it down, Christina. Don't fuck it. This isn't about you. Just fuck it. Do your thing. Afterwards, I felt so accomplished. It just that I honestly didn't kill myself. I really like sometimes that is
I remember the relief that like I could visibly see from you after the first show.
Yeah.
And then the second show, you were like, let's go, baby.
Let's go. Yeah. But we went back to the Airbnb and we hung out. We drank. It was me, you, Mike Coscarelli, mm-hmm. Corinne,
Wendy.
Obviously. Wendy.
Wendy.
I love Wendy
Starling. I miss Wendy so much. Hi,
I
Wendy.
Miss her. I miss her every day. And Aya. My friend Aya, mm-hmm. who's in makeup.
And Donna.
And Donna Guerreros. Mm-hmm. All my favorite people were in one place. and then we were outside and we saw weird stuff. Like the house was definitely haunted that we
were
at.
Oh my God. The first night was when the picture happened.
So explain that.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll go into that. So we were outside and I partake more in the weeds than the beverages.
Oh, right.
So we were smoking outside. I think it was me and Wendy. And there was the way that this house was set up was like, it was
weird.
3 floors and it was definitely haunted. It's like one of those old New England homes. And when you were standing outside, you could see this door that led to nowhere on the third floor, which is where Wendy and I were staying that night.
And that third floor loft area, I'm so sorry. That if I step the second I stepped into that, I'm like, I ain't going up here again.
Yeah.
This is not.
It was fine, but it was like the catalyst of all the things. So Wendy and I were like, where the fuck does that door go to? And I went to go take a picture of it.
Yeah.
And I'll send you the picture so you can, well,
yeah, I'm going to post it on my Patreon.
Post it on your page somewhere. Yeah. And I don't know how I moved the camera, but when I went to go look at the picture of what I thought would be the door, there were these two white figures, unmistakably human, for sure. And Wendy and I looked at each other. We were like, what the fuck? Like there's nothing there that could, there wasn't a bush. There wasn't like smoke. Like there wasn't any of that that could have been mistaken. It was like, I just took a picture of some fucking ghosts.
Yeah. Which is pretty sick.
Yeah. And then we just ran in the house and we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I remember we talked about that the next night after the special. And that's when I really was like, oh, you're witchy as shit.
I didn't even know that there was a term like clairvoyant until you guys were like, I think that's what you are.
Yes, because you were explaining to me, ghosts, spirits, whatever. Like they show up in your pictures.
I get like the feeling, and I also get like I don't see things. I don't really like hear things, but I like have the knowing of it.
Yeah,
you know. So
yeah, which is pretty undeniable.
Yeah.
And then you told me the story about, were you there in the pumpkin patch with your friends?
Yeah, also in Salem. So,
oh my God, Salem's so haunted.
Yeah, oh my God. Well, the only two places where I've gotten pictures of ghosts were in Salem.
That checks out.
But there was this installation that my friend and I were checking out like years ago. And it was, you could physically go into these like stick structures. Mm-hmm. And there was kind of like a portal where you could like look out, whatever. And it looked like giant huts, but that they were kind of like made with like sticks. That's some, I forget the name of the artist, but I'll find out and let you know. Either way, so my friend and I were like, oh, like we're gonna go in, we'll ask someone to take a picture. We asked someone to take a picture, and there's a fucking small child. Like there is a little girl in that photo, as clear as day, like fully formed, that was not there when the picture was taken. Like nobody crossed in front of us, like none of that shit. Someone snapped a photo and you're like, la la la, like again.
That's the clearest picture of a ghost I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But you showed me the picture. I remember you were searching for it. I think we were in the backyard in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
You were searching for it. You were telling me this story. I'm like, what the fuck?
And sounds ridiculous.
I'm expecting to see like a see-through kid or like a, I don't know, like Zachary Bings from the fucking Hocus Pocus, that little girl.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was a fucking little ass girl.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of garb she was wearing, if it were clothes or
it looked timing. Like regular, like regular little girl attire. Yeah. It wasn't like period-esque or anything like that. It looked like, if anything, from like the 90s, 2000s, like kind of.
Totally.
But crazy.
And I want to put that, if you could send me that picture, I want to put that up on my page.
Yeah, yeah. It's on my Instagram too. It's further down, but I'll find it. Yeah.
And also for those listening, I'll put it up like free. You don't have to become a member, although I recommend it. but when I saw that picture, I was like, holy hell.
Yeah.
That was one of the pivotal moments for me of like, this shit is so real and it's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was did I ever tell you my friend Daria, her Nona passed away, and they're a very tight-knit Italian family. Mm-hmm. And we were in college. This is the first thing that's ever happened to me that I'm like, what the fuck? Not to me, but adjacent. And her grandmother was dying in her uncle's home, and there was a nanny cam on the fireplace, and it was pointed towards the room she was in, but the door was open. In the middle of the night, this orb of light, and she showed me the video, and I've watched it dozens of times. The first time I watched it, I cried.
Shit.
I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. An orb goes into the room that her Nona's in, and it it looks like an explosion, like a nuclear explosion. And the light bursts out, and then it gets sucked back in the room.
Well, I just got chills.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. And then the next day, her Nona was like, oh my gosh, your grandfather visited me last night.
Oh.
And then a couple days later, she passed away.
Oh my God. She
passed away in the house. And the day she passed away, Daria was there and the family was there. And there were fireflies swarming the house, going in circles, like giant swarms, to the point where the neighbors were coming out filming it. And she showed me the video of that. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'll post that. She sent me the video of the orb. I'll post that on my Patreon too. Because I love video evidence and photo evidence.
Oh, yeah.
Because then there's no room for interpretation.
Yeah, no denial. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. And then that picture, I was like, what the fuck?
Insane.
But that led me to probably the most profound experience I've had on this planet so far.
Wow.
At your house.
Yes.
So I think maybe after the Salem thing, I was like, oh, I'm reading books on mediumship.
Yeah.
I think I was telling you.
Yeah.
There's all these exercises. We should totally just hang out, smoke weed and do them. I come over to your house, your husband Irish in your apartment. And we smoke weed, we chat, we hang out. And I'm like, we brought things with us that belong to a loved one.
Right, that had passed. Yeah, that was like the important thing. We're like, we didn't tell the other person who the person was of the item.
I remember for the first thing, I think you told me it was your grandma's. And
Because
I remember you telling me that. I don't think that was something I knew.
I don't know if you knew that.
I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit here, close my eyes, and say everything I that comes to me. And I was very comfortable with you guys. Mm-hmm. We were smoking weed, so I was extra comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, sometimes when you do exercises on your intuition, if intuition is something where, for me anyway, if I feel like I'm making it up, that's the correct intuition usually. So you have to kind of be a little ballsy with it in terms of like, I'm just going to say it.
Yeah. And like, this is a crazy thing for me to say, but.
Exactly. Yeah. And which that, and I also said that just so it helps me, my ego. and all these things, I immediately got the scene in American Beauty. I remember this as clear as day. Of Annette Bening trimming her rose garden, mm-hmm. like her perfectly manicured rose garden. I think I said a checkered gardening apron. Yeah. I said a yellow watering can.
Yep.
What else did I say?
Those were the two big
those
ones.
Those the big ones.
And the watering can was the big one for me. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, my grandmother had been passed for like 10 years. Like, we were very, very connected. She like had a hand in raising me. And like you were holding and talking for a while. Like it was like a couple of minutes. And I was like, your eyes were closed.
Yeah.
And I kept looking over to Irish like, oh my God. Like she's getting it every single time. Like I'd never shown you a picture of her, like nothing. Hold on one second.
Did you find your phone?
Tried your phone? Oh, yeah. Thank God. Irish left his phone in a cab and had to go find it. Now
wow,
he's back.
That's a New York miracle.
Yeah. Thank God. Anyways, so you were holding this. It was a pendant, and it was a butterfly pendant. Very important to my grandmother, butterflies. And the apron was the first signal where I looked at him like, holy fucking shit. Because the way that you described it was literally a picture that I have. Again, I'll send you all of the photo evidence so everyone can follow along. You should follow along the pictures and listen to this episode.
Yeah, I'll put them in order.
She's wearing like a... her classic red and white, like gingham, like apron.
Yeah.
Pointing at me like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then her watering can, the yellow watering can, that was the thing that sent me over where I had to like interrupt you. Like, oh my God, you're a fucking medium.
Yeah.
Like, you are like, this is 1,000% on par. I've never talked about this watering can. I've never brought it up. Like it's never like come out of my mouth.
Yeah, right.
Like yellow watering can, like 80s looking. And it was exactly, I think I sent you a picture of that too.
Well, I remember I opened my eyes and you had like had a tear rolling down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what was I right?
Yeah.
And you ran into your room and got a picture of her.
Yeah, dude.
And I was like, holy fucking shit.
I'm like, how'd you do that? Was a legit magic trick.
Yeah.
Like I was blown away and I was like, okay, we're on to something here. Like,
yeah. And I remember you and me are like down with this shit. Irish, I don't know how.
He was a little bit skeptical at the time.
Which is great. I think skepticism is very important.
Yeah.
But I remember he was like, wait, I want to give her something.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the first thing he gave me was a coin.
Yeah. Was it a coin or the jacket? Yeah, it was a coin.
The coin. And I was like, grandfather, military. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I don't know if it was a coin or the second object he gave me, where I was like, this, it's like wheat, like tall grass, like really tall grass. And then like a rickety dock, something. Bunch of shit came to me. And then he was like, I'm going to get something else. Mm-hmm. And then I go, it's your uncle's.
Yeah.
I remember like, it's your uncle's. And I'm like, and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn.
Yeah, you good. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't, for me, it wasn't like the presence of the person wasn't coming through so much as just like picking up on the energy, mm-hmm. which everybody can do. Mm-hmm. I think some people maybe have more access to it than others. But that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was like life changingly crazy.
Yeah. You have to be open to it. And I think like that was the perfect setting, like you said, to just like really get it all.
Yeah.
Great.
And now you've had two people in particular that were very close to you that have passed away.
Yes.
And you've heard from both of them.
I have, yes.
Can we talk about first your friend?
Yes, definitely. Do you want me to just kind of general? Okay,
sure. Who was this person to you?
Yeah, so my friend Scott, who I knew since I was like 12, you know, middle school, high school, like very close. I'm very close with his wife. They were high school sweethearts. For a long time, they, whatever, I won't get into that part, but they got married.
Yeah.
And not a year later, he passed away from something very tragic, and we don't have to get into that.
Yeah.
But the day of, I'll never forget this, day of, it was like 5 a.m., I could not sleep. I did not know what was going on. I was talking to my friend, different friend that had nothing to do with this, and she texted me, hey, did you know that Scott died? I'm like, 5 a.m.? We're not even talking. I'm like, this is a completely We weren't even talking about like at, like we were just having a conversation. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
So and she then, didn't call you to tell
no,
you
that? No, this was just random. She's like, oh, what I was just, fuck? I don't know how she found out. That part is fuzzy in my mind. But either way, he passed away and like I knew for a fact. I was like, okay, this is why I can't sleep.
Wow.
You know, a couple days later was like the funeral, the wake, all that stuff. And I kind of like reconnected with his wife, my friend, Maria. And we, like, I kept getting signs because, like, you and I talk about this all the time, like the Laurel and Jackson thing. Like, yeah. I'm 1,000% on board, like, asking for it. And at the time, and we'll get into like this other part, but like, my dad was sick, and I just felt very like, okay, I need to get on board with like connecting with the afterlife kind of thing. Like, yeah. Not that I wasn't before, but I'm like, all right, this is like the time.
Yeah, it's got to be an interesting experience when you have a loved one like dying or really sick.
Yeah.
To know that this thing exists and to go, okay, maybe I could like pre-plan how to implement this.
I'm such a Virgo rising that I need to organize even the grief that I'm going to go through. Okay.
Yeah, you did organize your grief very well.
But either way, so the first sign that I got from Scott was a monarch butterfly that was like right outside my front door. And
wow.
The front door will be like a big part of the story. But I like got this download that that was him. And I texted Maria. I was like, does monarch butterflies like mean anything to you? Mm. And it did. And she told me the story. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pay more attention to this. And like it had to be less than a couple days, maybe a week until this red-breasted robin kept showing up, kept showing up on this like one telephone pole and like would undeniably, you can even ask Irish, like would stare at me like really. And he was like big and fluffy, like kind of just like Scott. Funny enough, like aww. Maria's nickname for him was Fluffy. So like, aww. Which is really, it was like the only way I could describe this bird, like big, fluffy. I could just from the energy, I knew it was him. And this bird would also come and shit on my front steps. Like, and I mean, hey, not Scott. Once, not twice, regularly, like wow. Every fucking day, particularly when it was like a day where I didn't know until I like ended up reaching out after this sign. But like Maria definitely needed support. And like,
yeah.
That was sort of like, I got the nod from Scott and then I would immediately be like, hey, like, you know, what's going on, whatever. And this just kept coming up. And where him and my dad are both in the same cemetery. So it's near my house.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of crazy.
Jeez.
So we used to like go take a joint walk and go visit Scott.
Absolutely.
Like after he passed.
Cemeteries are very peaceful places.
Very, very. No one bothers you.
No. But it's like also you don't feel any bad. It's one of the few places you can go in New York City mm-hmm. where there's not really bad energy.
Yeah. And
cool.
I used to be really afraid of cemeteries.
Yeah.
And it's the funny thing about fear. Like when you dive towards it, it really gives you something back. And it now brings
ooh.
Me so much peace.
Yeah.
I like but that. Funny enough, so like the row that Scott is buried in, like maybe 10 rows down is my mom's best friend. So
wow.
One day we're visiting, we took a joint walk over there and Iris starts to walk towards my mom's friend's site. And I see in the distance, I'm standing at his site, and I see in the distance, there's the red-breasted robin. Like
the fluffy one.
The fluffy one. And he's on the ground, not on anything. And I looked, and I was like, I know that's you. I'm like, and if that's you, I want you to walk with me. This fucking bird started walking with me at
holy
the same
shit.
Pace that I was walking. And, like, in my mind, I was just like, you know, wish you were here and all these things and like that in syncness. I'm like, this is a fucking bird. I sound insane. Like, you
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
But I know for a fact that this
birds
is my friend.
Birds don't behave like that.
Yeah, they don't. It was just like crazy information. So let's fast forward. A couple months later, maybe it was a year later, Maria and Scott's family go to a medium.
Oh, shit.
And, the way that it happened, I won't bore you with the whole story, but they ended up going to like a, it was kind of like a bunch of people and like the medium would kind of try to see who would come through.
Oh, like a group reading?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
But they ended up doing a private reading because he was coming through so much.
Wow.
So he came through and
he's powerful.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Scott, go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, Scott, go off. But it was like an hour reading and I listened to the whole thing because Maria recorded it and I was like, you gotta fucking know, right? do you know that this medium said he comes to you as a red-breasted robin?
Wow.
Like, nobody mentioned that to him, to his family, like nothing. The only person that knew in that room was Maria. And so I'm like, okay, that's, I just know. When she was showing me that video, right before that, I felt him behind me.
Ooh.
Like, I felt him do, like you guys can't see me right now, but, like, put his hands on my shoulders.
Wow.
I felt it. Like, a physical, I was like, here it comes. Like, and then
holy
I heard that.
Shit.
And it's just, like, if I say that to anybody else that doesn't really believe in this shit, it
right.
sounds insane. But when I tell you it with every fiber of my being, I know that to be true.
Yeah.
I just know it to be true.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's like the cool thing about this shit is like,
yeah, it's undeniable.
You and don't feel so distant from like the person who passed at that point, you know?
And the fact that you can still experience their touch,
mm-hmm.
their essence, I guess is more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
This wild.
Yeah.
Because energy can't be created nor destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And the sending a bird, like Laura Lynn Jackson broke it down in a scientific way, which my ego appreciates, of like all the creatures that operate within the electromagnetic field. It's like a Wi-Fi signal mm-hmm. of sorts. And it's easy to manipulate that type of energy. That's why lights turning on and off.
Yeah.
That's also why like when doors shut, it's like, oh, you got a powerful one on your hands.
Yeah.
But the fact that you could feel the touch is
yeah.
like Patrick Swayze and Ghost yeah. when she's doing the pottery and she's like, I know you're here.
Yeah.
Like, girl, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It is pretty crazy. And like, I haven't really like talked to him like too much in the last year because my dad passed almost a year ago. So I've been more connected with him.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like it's a, oh, well, if you're connected with one, you can't be connected
sure.
with another one. But all of my energy goes to my dad now.
Yeah.
Like completely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And that's just like, I can't even help it.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
So.
And
yeah.
so your dad.
Yes.
Your dad and you are very close.
Yeah.
You're an only child.
I'm an only child. Well, my dad has three other daughters from a previous marriage, but I'm him and my mom's only child.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of had this, I guess, a heads up in a way, right?
Yeah.
Because you weren't sure if what he, the illnesses and stuff that had, did
yeah.
you know it was fatal or did you kind of assume?
So this was the interesting thing. So like 10, 12 years prior, he had like a kidney removed because they thought there was like a cancerous mass on it, which there was.
Mm.
And since then he was fine. So mm-hmm. he was in remission for like a really long time. He didn't really have to go through treatment at that point. All was well. And he was a pretty healthy, generally healthy dude. But it ended up that it was like 2022, right? 2023. He had gone in for something else and they found out that it was cancer. So kidney cancer. And we were in New York at the time. We ended up moving home because I just couldn't like not be near him during that time.
Sure.
I just refused to not be. So we had gone to the doctor and at that point, like the three of us found out like, okay, we're in stage four.
Yeah.
Which all three of us didn't know. And if any of you are out there and are dealing with cancer, if it comes back, if you had it once and it comes back, it's like considered stage four.
Oh, I didn't know
which
that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know like, oh, we skipped a two and three. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what
it's like. It cancer is a fucking weird thing like that. So I didn't know that. And I have the ability, not saying that my parents didn't, but like, you know, when you find out your husband is in stage four,
yeah.
you're in shock.
Yeah.
So my mom was just not able to do that, which is fine. So I felt like, okay, here's like my responsibility to really like, and Corinne was huge in this.
Right.
But being an advocate for my dad's health.
Yes, I remember Corinne telling me a lot of stories about
you
the
got, first
nurses
of all,
getting it wrong.
You got to be an advocate for your health, period. But
yeah.
like, especially when you're helping a parent, it's imperative.
In
like,
what ways were you an advocate for his health?
So, especially generationally, sometimes I think older people have a hard time asking questions or asking for help or asking for different options.
Yeah.
They just automatically trust the doctor and then get frustrated afterwards when things don't work out. But, you know, really like pushing, like, what can we do? Is this the right way? Can we get a second opinion? Like, all of these things.
Mm.
So, I had, to wrap that part up, I had about 18 months with him. After we found that out, and it was like you know, he went through treatment and all of the things. And I like really, the amount of work he did on his mental health in the last 18 months of his life is incredible.
Really?
Yes. I was so proud. I'm wow. so proud if you're here right now. That's so really proud. Cool. He really like was open to things. Like,
wow.
He was open to anything. And like, even if it wasn't something that like, there wasn't going to be no immediate relief. Like, right. It's not like completely going away, you know? But he's like, okay, well, if this is going to make me more comfortable and it sounds weird, like, whatever. Like, let's right. just try it.
Like Eastern medicine type of stuff?
Yeah, like stuff? Acupuncture. Okay. Cool. Like, even like, there was a couple crystals I'm in yeah. kind of holding, like, for, you know, like sound baths and things like that, because he like went through a lot in his life. Like, he was a refugee. Like, he went through divorce. He went through all these things. He was a business owner. So, like, there's a lot of stress in his life that I don't think he properly released.
Mm.
And I honestly attribute that to where his demise was. Like,
right.
I think if, and it was a huge eye opener for me and for Irish, where if you don't properly manage your stress, you're gonna get cancer.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I'm not just saying that.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
you are.
Yeah.
So that was like a huge thing for me of like, okay, because we just came from like the grind and like all this shit. And I'm like, okay, we all need to heal.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God. It's so amazing. Your presence in his life.
It was a profound experience that I would never trade for anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he was open to it.
Yeah.
He's a man. He's older. He's faced with this really bad diagnosis.
It's a Middle Eastern man. Okay. Yeah. Which adds to it. If you're listening, you have a Middle Eastern dad, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not always open to a lot of things.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy what like death can do, like really contemplating being forced to face it.
Totally.
Can make you a totally different person, like almost instantaneously.
Yeah. We had a lot of talks about like, you know, his legacy and like, different things of like how he really wanted to like leave this earth, because wow. he consciously was like at the end he was on a oxygen or whatever, and the night before he passed away he chose to take it off.
Okay.
And he was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, wow. this is it.
When you know, you know.
Yeah. And like, we're, you know, we've done everything that we can.
Yeah.
He like couldn't really talk the last day.
Wow, but his spirit was like, okay, this is my exit.
Let me tell you, he was fucking listening, okay? And this ties back to the bird shitting on my front steps. So the day that he died, which was January 4th, I think we all kind of internally knew like that it could be that day. So in the morning, I'd like come down where I was just sitting with him and my mom, and he wasn't talking. He was kind of like, his eyes were closed, but like, I knew he was listening. And I was telling my mom about Scott shitting on my front stairs as a bird. And dude, this is the craziest story. So I'm telling her this story and it was like such a quick thing. And then I went to go do something else. He passed away.
Were like you a there couple when he passed?
Of, yes. So the
in the room.
In the room, me, my mom, and Irish were all there.
Holding it, were you holding
his hand? We were all like, wow, kind of holding him. And
can I ask, like, absolutely. Sorry to interrupt
this. No, not at all.
But did you feel like I've only been in the room where when a pet's passed away,
mm-hmm.
and I've been holding the pet. Mm-hmm. I feel it leaving. Yeah. Like it's wild. And yeah. I imagine a human is much more intense. Like, did you feel his spirit?
So that was the second time. So I was in the room with my grandmother when she passed. And thankfully she was home in bed with all of her grandchildren and beautiful. Children. And it was like a beautiful moment. It was very traumatic for me. Because I was the first person I saw die in
that's
front
a
of
wild.
Me.
Yeah, that's wild.
Which is not, I realize, not normal. A lot of people don't experience that.
It's a unique experience.
So I kind of knew the series of events that would happen. So I felt prepared in that way.
Oh, in terms of what the body does?
Yeah, like...
Yeah, body... Hospice Nurse Julie is an account on Instagram that talks about the gargling and the certain bodily functions that will happen in the death process that seem alarming and jarring, but it's
like
not
sometimes, though, and my dad did this, he like jerked after he passed.
After,
yeah.
It was like the electricity.
And that, like, that happens. That's right. A thing that happens. And... my poor mom, she thought that he was like still kicking.
Oh,
but
fuck.
I know.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. It was really hard. But we were, so I'd, so funny. I'd put in laundry and I came upstairs and I was looking at him and I was like, it's happening. And I like called for him. I called for my mom and I was like, it's happening now. We need to like be here.
Yeah.
And Irish's grandmother, actually, who's also pretty woo woo, had given me some advice of like, when it's happening, you need to tell him that you're here with him and that he's safe and that you're like here to support him.
Right.
You know, and just continue to make him feel comfortable and that his spirit will like, it'll be more ease like and for totally. Him, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just what I did. Like, I just kept telling him, I love you. Like, you know, we're here for you. It's okay. Like, you can go. Like, telling them it's okay, you can go.
That's impactful.
It is, I think, sometimes the permission.
Yeah.
You know? And there's no fucking way that my mom would be able to give that permission.
Yeah, of course.
There's no way that he would be able to give that permission.
Oh, yeah, you're the only one.
So it had to be me.
Ooh.
And I had to, like, prepare for that. Like, I had to like think about that. I think we called her maybe like a week before he passed and she told me this and I was like, oh, okay. So and it all like came into me. We're like, okay, yeah, if I'm doing that, then I'm doing his eulogy and then I'm doing this and then I'm taking care of my mom. And like,
we have this move means the preceding moves will be happening.
Exactly. And he passed and I knew in the moment he's gone. And he jerked, whatever. And like, but I knew that he was still passed. And the hospice nurse has to come and like declare them.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, a little like 20 minutes or so. And then my mom broke down and like, you know, from the official news, you know. Yeah. And I felt in that moment. And if any of you listening are in this position, take time in that moment for yourself, because I did not do that. I did not do that. I went into like action mode.
Okay.
Because that's how like I respond to crisis.
Sure.
And there's like nothing you can do, but like in Armenian culture, you know, whenever someone passes that same day, everybody comes over. Mm. Like everyone comes over, everyone talks about them. Sometimes they don't know when to leave and like, you know, sometimes people are there that you don't want there. And
oh,
like,
that's gotta suck.
And it's just that, but that's culturally sort of, that's what we do. And I like, I didn't take the time that I needed until the next day. And then it really hit me. Mm. So my advice would be is like, just like, even if it's just a couple of minutes, just to be like, okay, I'm here. I hear you. Like, we're going to be connected. I love you, you know, because if you go into crisis mode, then there's just sometimes there's more to heal later.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. And also the near-death experience interviews that I always watch on YouTube, a lot of them, obviously, they've come back after they passed because they're there to tell. But when their spirit leaves their body, they're in the room still. Mm-hmm. They don't do the tunnel thing.
Yeah, yet.
Like they don't just go into the tunnel. I mean, everyone's experience is a little different and unique, kind of catered to them. So I would imagine, too, in those moments, your dad is there watching you guys, probably with you guys. Did you feel him?
I felt him for like 40 days.
Wow.
Like I was like, he's still here.
Wow.
Like for sure.
Right. Right.
And so two things that happened I'll tie back the first story that I was talking about earlier. but a couple of days had gone by and another bird appeared. Which this one, you guys can look it up. It's a dark-eyed junco, and it looks exactly like my dad. Like, I'm talking about salt and pepper hair and, like, just the way that the eyeballs were, like...
I've never heard of that bird. Dark-eyed junco?
Yeah. It's, like I think it's native to Massachusetts.
Okay.
So maybe that's why. And I think they only come around in the wintertime.
Okay.
And
J-U-N-C-O.
This motherfucking bird would come shit in the same spot that Scott's bird would shit.
That's awesome.
And I was like, he heard me.
Yeah.
You know, right. I was like, that's validation. I'm like, he heard me. And he would only sit in that one spot. And like, he picked another spot, like right across the street where I would like look out in the morning and he'd be sitting right there, like that's ready really to greet cool. me.
Yeah.
It's in like that. My dad has that kind of sense of humor. Like,
yeah,
he didn't like, maybe not wouldn't say like a whole lot, but the way that he would like joke he's very much like a big winker guy, like, you know.
Yeah.
So
nudge, nudge.
Yeah, exactly. So that was like, now whenever I hear from him, it's like a little wink. You know what I mean? Yeah. But one thing that was like crazy besides that, like another felt like an undeniable, like, oh my God, this is him. So he died January 4th. January 5th, we had a ton of snow. And just like being the man of the house, whatever, like, you know, always used to shovel this and that, whatever. And we'd always be like, oh, let's hire like some kids to do it or something like that. I get up, the doorbell rings. January 5th, okay? The day after. And it's two little boys asking if they can shovel our front steps.
Wow.
There were, I was like looking around because I don't know, I know everybody on my street. I don't know these boys. Yeah. I don't know where they came from. And I'm like, you know, there are parents around, like nothing. No. I'm looking at the other like stairwells. There's no footprints or anything.
Wow.
I'm like.
They came right to you guys first.
He sent me these boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. For sure.
Damn.
And just like little things like that would continue to happen. And I'm just like, this man's here with me.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's, and yeah, it's one of the most interesting things that I feel like pisses me off from the afterlife communicating to the alive people is that most of Laura Lynn Jackson's readings, for example, that I've seen her do in person. And then she talks about it in her book. They all say, like, don't cry, as if, like, what? What are you doing crying? And I'm like, it doesn't even feel like they understand that we would cry. And it's like, not only are you going to cry, but you're going to just grieve so heavily. And I'm like, that's such an interesting thing to me, because I couldn't imagine a world where human beings wouldn't have this grieving experience. That's got to be one of the most, grieving a parent has got to be one of the most intense.
Yeah.
And grieving a husband or a partner.
Yeah.
Yo. That's got to be, woo! And you're dealing with your own grief for your dad, and then you're dealing with your mom's grief for her husband that she had a life with. It's got to be super intense.
Yeah.
So do you still hear from him?
Yeah. So in the summertime, I planted a garden, and it was his garden, so I like kind of took it over, and I heard from him, I would say, all summer long and through November. Whenever I see 333, I always know it's him, but
yeah.
The garden was interesting because he loved tomatoes, and I'm not a huge tomato gal, but I planted a couple, whatever. And I sent you this video too.
Yeah.
But it was like a U-shaped garden, and in the middle, I had this like plaque for him, and there was like a bunch of celery root that had come back from that he had grown, and I just like couldn't bear to pull it, so I just left it for now. And at the top of the U, I had planted this like pumpkin patch and it ends up growing all the way around. So I was like, all right, I gotta take this celery out because like
make room for the pumpkins,
whatever. And I'm smelling tomatoes as I'm like pulling out roots. And I'm like, the tomatoes are nowhere near where I am. What's going on? There was two like stalks, like thick tomato plants growing on either side of the stone that I had for him, like the plaque.
Wow.
And
ooh, I got chills.
Here's the crazy part. Tomatoes are not perennials.
What does that mean?
They don't come back every year. You have to replant them.
Okay.
We had cultivated that whole garden. There's no fucking way. I didn't plant any, you know, none of that.
Right.
And it was covered with mesh. So it's like, I know y'all are thinking like, oh, did a bird like eat a tomato and then drop a seed? Yeah. No.
Even if that did happen, I'd be like, that's your dad.
Yeah. But that's what I said too. Right. I'm like, there was just no interaction.
They have to drop the seed in the flower bed.
Right.
Like, that's a very specific place to drop
and
a seed.
And it was thick. Like, it wasn't like a brand new plant. It was thick.
Damn.
Those tomatoes lasted into November.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
Red.
Yeah, they were your dad's.
Crazy.
That's so cool.
And every time I was just like, I would like ask him like, oh, I wonder what he thought, thinks of the garden. And like, that was my validation. My mom actually had a dream about him.
Oh, cool.
He came to her in the backyard next to the garden and was like, I love what you guys did. Oh. And just like gave her validation. And I thought that that was beautiful too. But
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking, I want to read a message for, I have a little segment on my show and I'm not in the Slickback studio. So I usually have like a little sound bite where I'm like, aliens and ghosts and psychedelic powers. Oh my. And then Mike plays the the Scully theme. But there was a woman who messaged me. She DM'd me, and it was really, it's so interesting. She DM'd me weeks ago, and she was like, "Oh, I got to tell you this story about my best friend who passed." I don't have it. She was responding to something else, but she's like, "By the way, I'm going to be sending you this story at some point." Mm-hmm. And then she ended up sending me the story the day that I texted you. It was so, I still don't really know what this means, but like four of my friends within an hour's time texted me. You said, "Oh my God, you're an angel."
Yeah.
And then my friend Ashley was like, "Oh my God, you're such an angel." And I was like, "That's weird."
Yeah.
And then my friend who's going through a breakup and she's having a really hard time, but she's like channeling it into creativity. She sent me a song she wrote that same hour mm-hmm. about the breakup. And she was like, "You made an angel cry."
Oh my God.
And I was like, "What the fuck?" And then one other friend said something about an angel. And I was like, "That's wild." And then this girl.
Oh boy.
Sent me the DM. She's like, "Oh, here's the story, by the way, that I've been meaning to tell you," within the same hour. And we'll, you know, obviously Angel will be a part of it. And I was like, "That's so fucking weird."
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I guess like guardian angels or whatever, but I'm going to read it. Okay. So I have a deep connection to my best friend that passed away 9 years ago, and I still feel/get little signs from that I can share with you someday, since I know you're always looking for stories. And then weeks later, on the same day, all these people were texting me, Angel, she sent it to me. Okay. So she has been one of my best friends since childhood. We lived a few streets away from each other, so we were always so close. We both came from strange families and basically became each other's family. So I understand why I still feel so connected to her. The week she died, I was an emotional mess, of course, and went out to a lookout spot we used to go to a lot. I was sobbing and noticed a butterfly literally sat next to me and stayed with me the entire time I was there. It would fly around me and then sit right next to me and repeat this for like 30 minutes. When I finally walked back to my car, I saw her entire initials, first, middle, and last name on the license plate next to me. She always wrote her initials when doodling or writing, so I knew that was her.
Aww.
Throughout the years, seeing them has definitely become one of the biggest signs. I also had a dream with her that week that felt so real. In my dream, I saw her so vividly, and I said, "How am I supposed to do this without you?" And she said, "I will always be with you." I started crying in the dream, and I woke up. She's been in my dream since, but that was one of the most vivid. I've also had a dream where I was the only one that could see her in a group of people. She had a beautiful purple glowing aura around her.
Oh, beautiful. Crown chakra.
Yeah, baby. My sister, who is a very sensitive person, also had a dream where I was stressed and she saw my best friend right behind me, surrounded by a purple glowing aura too. That's so cute.
Oh, wow.
For months after she passed, I was looking for my pet rat under my bed, haha, and found an angel coin. And I'll post the picture to this. She sent me a picture and I hope she's okay with it. I'll include this on the post. I'll send a picture once I'm done writing these, but it's a goldish coin with an angelic angel on both sides. Gives
what
me
the
chills.
Fuck? I got chills too, man.
Gives me chills just thinking about it now. I Googled it at the time and saw lots of people had experiences that they found it sometime after a loved one passed away. And I asked her, I'm like, oh, I'll tell you in a second.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is getting long, but continuing. There was a point after she passed when I said out loud, "If you are with me, please have me see your birthday numbers." When I met my current boyfriend, I saw the numbers everywhere when we hung out.
Oh my God.
I ended up breaking up with my very toxic boyfriend at the time, and we started dating. We've been together for 8+ years, and I've been able to heal so much because of the peace it's brought me. I know, isn't that beautiful? Ooh, and he makes me laugh so much like she did.
Aww.
Whenever I think of a creative project that has to do with her, I usually see her birthday numbers a second after the thought passes.
Oh,
it still blows my mind, and yet I always thank her for showing me she's here. Whenever I'm desperate to see her B-day numbers or want to use them to make a decision, they never show up. Instead, I usually see them after I make the decision or do something that scares me that is for myself. Mm-hmm. I thought that's very interesting. I hadn't been seeing them as much. I thought time had just passed and it was what it was. I randomly get this deep gut feeling recently that I should make a sweatshirt in her honor with patches that remind me of her.
Oh.
Ever since doing that and deciding to start a creative project that is about her, I have been seeing them everywhere again. probably even more frequently than before. It made me realize that the importance of not just looking for signs, but inviting your loved ones into your life, whether mm-hmm. it's through a creative project or even clothes that they used to wear. Creating space that invites them into your daily life literally brings them into your space. Mm-hmm. It's an invitation, which I thought was so interesting. Mm-hmm. The entire experience truly has shown me that there is so much more than what meets the eye, and our loved ones that passed away are truly closer than we think. Thank you so much for the space to write, and I hope it's interesting. Sorry about the length.
Don't be sorry.
Yeah. Now, I have a picture. Did I save the picture of the coin? Let me see if I saved it.
It's amazing.
And I was like, hey, just to clarify, this coin thing, was that coin not in your house? Like, are you saying this coin appeared? And she was like, yeah.
Holy fuck.
And I'm like, what the fucking shit? It was really cool.
That's magic, yo.
Yeah, let me see. Angel coin. Okay, wait.
Angels do magic tricks.
Yeah. Making shit appear. Angel coin. Okay, here we go. There we go. I'm going to save it so I can put it. This is wild.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's wild.
It's a literal object that appeared.
I do. I agree
Look
with
that. Look at that.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Look at that fucking shit.
That's, first of all, that's an actual angel.
Yes.
A real
live. A depiction of an angel as we think of one. It's a
with
circular.
A halo and everything.
Huh? Like,
wow. I was looking for numbers on it, but there's no numbers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think you told me, too, the coin thing. Like,
well, they'll move coins
yeah.
to make signs.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, they'll put coins in your path.
But now I always look at the year because you told me to look
yes.
at the year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. And that led us, her and I were DMing back and forth about how, like, yeah, you know, that makes me realize, like, Laura Lynn Jackson, one of the first mm-hmm. things she says in the medium readings that I see her do is they loved the baseball field you dedicated to them, mm-hmm. or they love the thing that you made on your fireplace in their honor. And I'm like, yeah. Oh shit, like that is almost a direct access.
Definitely.
To that, it seems.
Definitely.
And like the fact that a coin appears,
straight
that's just
up.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like super obsessed with figuring out how to, I think our biggest handicap is that we're human.
Mm-hmm.
And which I guess is the point of all this, to like learn shit.
Yeah.
But I really want to transcend the humanness in this lifetime if I can, if I fucking can.
Well, definitely being a creative is helpful, and like channeling anything into like something creative is like, you know,
yeah.
the best way to
That's
heal.
The magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to read some excerpts from this book real quick, but I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I'm just going to talk about it.
Intuition. There it is.
Yeah. yeah. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I was listening to music videos watching music videos on YouTube this morning. My boyfriend was still asleep, so I had like we don't have any doors, but we have curtains, so I closed the curtain.
I understand that one.
That's yeah. tough. You can only slam the bathroom door. Yes. The bathroom's very tiny. You're like, well, now I'm in the bathroom.
And it probably like, yeah, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, you have to get shit out of the way to close
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
New York City. No room. But I wanted to, this one artist, Abra, that I fucking love. She has a song called Diamonds and Gold, mm-hmm. and it's such a bop. I love listening to it while I rollerblade.
Love it.
So I was playing it, and then I was like, oh, I want to listen to Radiohead. And there's this song, Everything in Its Right Place. Mm-hmm. Beautiful song by Radiohead. I was like, oh, I never saw the video. And I know Radiohead's super specific about the art they put out in the world.
Yeah.
I'm like, I bet this is a good video. And the video was, oh my God, it made me cry.
Oh.
It was really beautiful. It'll make me feel much more human. I'll include the
wow.
link. But it's you only see the back of a little boy's head throughout his life. So he's on a tricycle. He's playing in the woods. He's at his cousin's communion. He's at a birthday
Beautiful.
Party for himself. And then he gets older. He gets in trouble by his dad. He gets smacked in the face by his mom. He drinks for the first time.
Oh my
he
God.
Does drugs for the first. And you're only seeing the back of his head.
Yeah.
And you're seeing this aging back of his head. And then he's a grown man. The back of the head's a grown man. And you see he's at a concert and he blocks eyes with this woman. And then the next moment is they're walking down the aisle.
Aww.
And the next moment is he's in a, whew, I could cry.
Wow. I literally, like, I keep getting chills, like, while you're telling me these stories. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he's in a hospital and he lifts something up and it's a brand new baby.
Aww.
And then tragedy strikes and the wife and the son, as the son gets older, gets hit by a bus and they die. And then he's grieving. And then he meets another
what a
woman.
Turn, yeah.
And then he's in her house with her child. And then his hair starts to gray. And he starts to, you know.
Wow.
And then he lays down for surgery, the back of his head. And you're like, human beings experience so much beauty,
mm-hmm.
but so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize, like, you know, the knowledge that I've gained from the people who've died and come back, like, and especially like Michael Singer is the author of one of my favorite books, mm-hmm. The Untethered Soul. He's like, your heart is an orchestra and it plays all kinds of songs. Mm-hmm. When you go see an orchestra concert in these beautiful venues, and if you've never done it, I highly recommend it. It's very, yes, very moving. Just go see art in general. But you know, they can play a really sad song, or we could go see a sad movie, and we like that. Mm-hmm. We like being reminded that we're alive.
Yeah,
and being
it's cathartic.
Yeah. Super cathartic. Yeah. And it's, you know, I guess because of the ego, it feels safer to cry over a plot in a movie,
yeah,
or the sound of a violin that just gets to us.
The amount of Queen Herbie songs that I've cried my eyes out
Yo,
to.
Yes, yes. And but then we have these beautiful songs and these rap songs, yeah, that make us feel like we want to fucking
Alive.
Take over the world.
Yeah.
And it's just, but there's no good or bad, which is a wild concept to consider. There's no good or bad people. Mm-hmm. You know, look at the news, you would think otherwise. But like, there really isn't. Donald Trump is not good or bad. Like, mm-hmm, we just are.
Tumpity tump.
Tump, tump,
yeah,
tump.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, tump. I'm not calling him by his real name. But he's not good or bad. Like, yeah, all these, you know, awful characters in history, they're not good or bad. They, mm-hmm, they just are. They did what they did. It's, mm-hmm, not, and it's all, I'm like, wow. Life is just, it's so intense.
Yeah.
Life is so intense.
Yeah. Grief, I think we had talked about this a couple weeks ago on our like full moon calls that we do, but grief is just love that doesn't have anywhere to go.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
And if you can channel that emotion, that energy into like somewhere for it to go in a positive way,
that's where
you're winning.
That's where it can heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause I think when it lies dormant in you, or it lies,
becomes cancer.
Yes. Yeah. Or it
literally
becomes a miserable life.
Yeah.
And you're so taken over. Like the amount of times. Like the last Laurel and Jackson reading I went to, I was so, I took Donna with me because I'm like, watch this woman do her thing.
Yeah.
You're going to be blown away. And she was blown away. Like, yeah. I knew. Two women were there whose fiancés died a week before the wedding. They died in the same month. These two women, they were from different, one was like Minnesota and the other one was from Long Island. Like,
and they ended up in the same room, mm-hmm, on the same day. Mm-hmm.
On the same
looking
side
for the
of the
same
room.
Thing.
Yeah. And she said some things that I could not imagine they wanted to hear.
Yeah.
One of them got word that like, there's going to be someone else in your life. And she was like, no, I'm not ready for that. And I mean, I would have the same.
Yeah.
I'd probably have a violent reaction. I'm like, no, because we feel like we need to hold on to this grief because, mm-hmm, if we let it go. And so I wanted to ask you, like, the grief for your dad, mm-hmm, someone who's you're so close to a parent. Genetically and emotionally and spiritually, like, yeah, how's the grief evolved for you?
Oh my God.
So obviously it's not as intense, but like, is it sad that it's not as intense?
So that's a really great question, because standing here right now, 11 months later, I am just starting to come out of a haze.
Mm.
I knew, so I'm a weirdo. Okay.
Thank God.
But before, like, and I mean like a week before, like this is like right as it was happening, I decided to do a grief study for myself. Yeah. And I had to put it somewhere.
You little Virgo.
Yeah, for real. Like, it's deceiving because I'm an Aries sun, but I'm Virgo everything else.
Yeah.
But I just like started listening to people, like their experience about like loved ones passing and grief and death and like philosophy and like all of this stuff and what it like really means. And because in the past, when I've experienced extreme sadness or disappointment and I'm paralyzed by it, the only thing, and I mean this, do this if this is you, learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm.
Learn something new every day, because if you can't move, if you're paralyzed by grief, sadness, depression, anxiety, just learn something.
It takes you out of it immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still next to you, but it's like it's your thinking brain turning on.
Yeah. And it like gave me something to go to whenever I was like, oh my God, this is so heavy.
Yeah.
And like, I remember it is a lonely process, I will say. And like, if you are blessed enough to have people around you that are there for you, like that, whoo, yay. But, you know, I think we expect people to be more like there than they are. But like, what I've learned during this process is a lot of people don't know how to handle grief. And they don't know how to handle your grief, because they're not sure if I bring it up, is it going to upset them? Because at the end of the day, like you said, like there's no good or bad. Like people just they don't want to stir the pot more. You know what I mean? Totally. So I had to really like understand that and like be okay with that, because some people are just, they've never seen someone die in front of them. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So on top of grieving, there's also this process of giving your friends grace.
Yeah. And like I have a good friend who's like, you know, who lost two of her grandparents like right after I lost my dad. Shit. And she hadn't lost anyone in her life. Mm. So it's like learning how to deal with. I feel like now after this experience, one of my purposes in life is to I think I said this to you recently, and I've said this to our friend Jordan too, where like my purpose in life is to, I'm really good at talking about uncomfortable shit.
Yeah.
Like same. Really good at it.
That's one of the reasons we get along so well. Yeah. Let's fucking go there.
Let's get uncomfortable comfortably.
Yeah.
But you know, it is sad. You know, like there are days that I have where I'm like, this sucks. Like, yeah. I just want to go talk to my dad. And in those moments, I'm lucky enough to like have the clairvoyant, I guess you could call it, connection with him. But I'll go to his site and like, dude, you just got to cry. Like, yeah. Whatever. You can't be numb forever. And you can't be numb, period. Like,
yeah.
You just got to, you have to move.
They don't want that for you.
They don't want that. And like, you shouldn't want that, because then that's going to stir up other things in you. So like, I guess it's just been such a learning process over the last year, and like more learning about how I deal with things and like what I consciously or unconsciously have taken from my dad. Or my mom, or just like, you know, our conditioning.
Yeah.
And like, oh, can I handle this situation better? Do I have to react this way? You know, like, and even out of grief, sometimes, you know, everyone reacts differently. But like, I think over time, you just learn how to carry the grief.
Right.
You know, like it will never, and people said this to me, like, at my dad's wake, especially like friends that I had who had lost a dad specifically, they were like, this will never go away. Just know that this is never going to go away. You just get better at it.
Right.
And like, that is a weird concept, because it's, yeah. But it's kind of like going to the gym.
Right.
It's like, if when you start, you're like, oh my God, I'm so sore.
How?
I'm sweating from places I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, no one's helping me lift this. Like, oh my God, there's someone yelling at me. Like, all of this shit. And then, like, one day you're like, oh, I'm adding weight.
You get good with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm doing this for a little bit longer. Or like, you know what I mean? Or like, oh, I can hold this yoga position now.
Yeah.
You know? And then you all of a sudden find yourself like, oh, someone else is grieving and I'm helping them. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? It's been an evolutionary process, and I'm really lucky to have people like you around me, like Irish, and like, you know, a couple other people who just understand and like actively want me to be okay. You know what I mean?
And give space for you to like not be.
Yeah.
Because some days every day's got to be Sheryl Crow. Every day is a motherfucking winding road.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah. But it definitely gets easier over time. So like,
yeah.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah. So the last thing I wanted to do was read some pages of this book that I want you to borrow and read later.
Yes.
So you're, like I said, one at the top, a very creative person.
Thank you.
You are the one who did the Guys We Fucked chair
thing,
which was like so cool.
one of the coolest projects I've ever done.
I love it. It's one of my most treasured possessions. She took the very famous green chair that was in my apartment for years that I got at the thrift store a decade ago. I was getting rid of it, and she was like, "Let's do something with it." And you took the fabric off, and you made a mini chair out of the fabric chair. I love it so much, and just stuff like that. Like, your creative mind is amazing.
Thank you. You
have like a job right now that you love, that's good to you, that is that's a very lucky thing to experience, but it's not aligned with what you want to be doing, and it's not using, it's what Jordan said, Jordan Planet, fucking God bless her, her presence in our lives. She's like a saint to me.
Yeah.
I just love her so much.
Her optimism is something I strive for,
and it's genuine.
It's genuine.
So genuine.
Yeah.
She's one of the things she said in the interview that I did with her was like, if you're not using my brain, I'm out. Which is like, I want that for everybody.
Yeah.
So many people go into these careers that that's not for them. Mm-hmm. And when your integrity is misaligned, shit's going to suck. Mm-hmm. Even if you're surrounded by people that are great. And so you kind of called me the other day and was like, I just got a download and I need to talk this out and I need to share it. Just about like where you are in your life and the pivots you want to make. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to read some excerpts from one of my favorite books, Martha Beck, The Way of Integrity, Finding the Path to Your True Self, yes. as part of Oprah's book club.
That's so funny because literally the other day I said to you, I want to be living in integrity. So yes. That's so funny that this is great. Awesome.
And I'm just going to read some sentences. So one is, to be in integrity is to be one thing, whole and undivided. When a plane is in integrity, all its millions of parts work together smoothly and cooperatively. Mm-hmm. If it loses integrity, it may stall, falter, or crash. There's no judgment here. It's just physics. Mm-hmm. So the book is about like, we're the same way.
Yeah.
If you're doing something, even if it's just to make money for the time being, but it's not what you want to be doing, eventually the law of physics is going to come in and you're going to either get ill or have a mental breakdown or something.
It's going
to push you. Or get into a car crash, like something like really big. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, if you're not going to get out of the situation, I'm going to bump you up.
Yep.
The extent to which people will defy nature to serve culture can be truly horrifying. I love.
That's a great line.
I love that. This book is full of these gems. But the whole thing works very well from the perspective of creating and sustaining human groups. There's just one catch. Nature does not give up without a fight. Mm-hmm. If you've ever found yourself snapping at someone you dearly love or sitting down to complete a work project only to spend 5 hours shopping for home tattoo kits online, it's probably because you're internally divided. You're trying to act in ways that don't feel right to you at the deepest level. Whenever we do this, our lives begin to go pear-shaped. Mm. Emotionally, we feel grumpy, sad, or numb. Physically, our immune systems and muscles weakened. We might get sick. And even if we don't, our energy flattens. Mentally, we lose focus and clarity. That's how it feels to be out of integrity.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is a good one. Your true self is intensely interested in your real life's work, but it could give a rat's ass about anything else. When you pursue a career that pulls you away from your true self, your talent and enthusiasm will quit on you like a bored intern.
It's so fucking true.
I want you to arouse my brain.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for, like, I'm a very horny person sexually, but I'm also like creatively horny. That's more so. That's like the bigger lion in the room. They're both big lions, but that one's the bigger one. And so if I'm not actively engaging in a project that I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Fucking kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Every task will feel distasteful as poison food and leave you just as weak. You'll probably have a sequence of mistakes and unlucky breaks at work. Actually, these are lucky. Your true self is stopping you from wandering further into the dark wood of error. But you won't see it that way at the time.
It's like getting laid off from a job.
Yeah.
You know, and like that, you know, besides this current one I'm in. But, you know, previously I've been like laid off from professional like jobs that I have degrees in, not because of my talent.
Right.
You know what I mean? Multiple times. And at the time, if you asked me, I'd have serious doubt in my creativity and my talent and like my skill, frankly. But now looking back, I'm like, fuck, I'm not in those jobs because I would still be miserable.
Yep.
I wouldn't be actively going towards what I want to go towards. And it just wasn't a good fit. I just thought it was because on paper it looks like it. And
always.
The funny part, and this is something I also learned this year, is that like nothing is permanent. Like, and you're
good or bad.
Yeah. And you are allowed to make things temporary. Like you don't have to stay in a job just because, or like you don't have to stay in a relationship just because, like, you know, it can be temporary. You can, like, if you're going after your dream and you need something to sustain you during that time, it's okay to have a temporary job as like a barista or like some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not,
that job is helping you get where you want to be.
It's not saying anything about you and your talent or you're not selling out. Like,
ego,
none
man.
Of that. It's so
ego
it's
destroys
ego.
Creativity.
Yes.
And it's not just I'm the best. It's not just that type of ego. It's that like, oh, I'm working as a barista right now when I should be fucking painting.
Yeah.
It's like, No. Like, don't let your ego chime in and go like, this is bad. This is happening to me. No, it's happening for you, baby.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's the same concept of like, even the
bad art that you create is still worth making. You know what I mean? It's the same shit. So, like, you know, just keep it moving, you know?
Yeah. And then I wanted to ask you, if you are interested in talking about this, where do you want to go?
Oh my God. Number one, I want to work with and collaborate with other artists that are like me.
Yeah.
That are just excited about creation and like doing something cool and unique and different.
Yeah.
And like, I, you know, have experience all over the realm of design, like pick a subject. But I love working with comedians. I love working with people who just have a vision of like, this is what I want to do. I just don't know how to achieve it.
Yeah.
And I'm really good at figuring out how to achieve it.
Yeah.
And that like brings me so much joy.
Yeah.
To do that and to like help facilitate that, you know? Yeah.
You're an art baby doula.
Yeah. I'm a muse, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you really do. You graphic design wise, you fucking crush it. And then set design, interior design. Yeah. Like you have this like really interesting, unique creativity. And I mean, I've told you this before. Whenever the day comes, and it will come, where I get the immersive theater project off the ground, you're one of the first people I'm calling.
Thank you.
Because like I want to make like a world.
Honestly, that's the shit that I love and I'm so interested in, because then you can physically create art that people can interact with.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the reason why I love working with performers too, because they're creating something and offering it to the world. And then that's beautiful, you know? And if I can have a hand in that or adjacent to that, like that, I really enjoy that a lot.
That's fucking sick. Yeah,
so I'm here if you're out there.
Yes, Ani. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
If somebody wanted to contact you to do like a dope creative project, how would they do that?
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram, Ani_Moush, M-O-U-S-H. Subscribe to my YouTube, because I'm gonna try to add some more stuff to that. There's a whole catalog of things there for you already. It's just also Ani_Moush. You'll find me there. And then if you're interested and you'd like to work together, you can email me at animooshmedia@gmail.com.
Yay. Yay. Thank you, Ani.
Thank you.
You're the shit. Love
Thanks
you.
For having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. My honor.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next Monday. Thanks for tuning in.